You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on Trucker Thursday, 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3, 96.5 FM. WISS, of course, is Civic Media app. Stray shower, thunderstorm possible today, high in the low 80s. Great having Kevin Van Ness on. That was really fun talking about the great things they do and how they handle the weird weather.
And you talk about loving your job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy that he goes, it's going to be 0 or 100. You know, we're going to play. If there's one person there, if there's, you know, I just, yeah, he is, and that's the difference. Like Pete Fulton told him, there's a difference between, you know, a musician and an entertainer. And he is, that dude, he is an entertainer.
No question.
And he's got so many shows all summer. We're going to see him next week. But, you know, there's a guy that he brings it every time. We talk about sometimes people like him. Right. It's like, they're really into it. Sometimes you get these, you know,
yeah.
I just remember Widener and you know, these just canned shows where they're not into it. This guy just, anyway, great having him on.
Well,
but even greater,
very special guest. We got the, I think one of the, how do I put this? I don't want to say the scariest jobs, but one of the most I have admiration for is the moms of our deployed soldiers. And we've got my great friend Liz Hastings here, and her daughter is deployed. And she's a medic, and I've known this little girl since she was 8 years old, and she is now a sergeant in the United States Army as a medic. And Liz, tell us about the feelings of a mom in a situation like this.
I would say more than anything, I'm proud. She's excited. This is something she's looked forward to. This is what she's worked for. So, of course, you've got your worries, which you kind of stuff down.
Which every mom would have for every kid in the world.
Well, and you know, and honestly, I was listening to the show the other day, and they had one of the recruiters was on, and he was saying that it's scary to have your kids in today's society here in the United States.
Right.
So, really, it's a horse
and
piece.
And his son is also deployed. So he's got both the father aspect and the recruiter aspect.
Right. Okay. Right.
This the field of being a medic. She's going to see some unbelievably, I don't know, sad, bad, whatever, just tragic things.
Well, hopefully she doesn't. But
well, there's a good chance though. I want to hear. My question is.
Let me just say this though too. Might not come from warfare type things, but military people get as many accidents doing stuff
this is
as
true.
Anybody else. Don't
this is
they,
true.
What I'm saying is, it's like the ER.
Yeah.
You know, and that's is. Good as doctors are, that maybe not be for everybody. Some people like pediatrician, maybe like pulmonary or something like that. When she was a kid, are you surprised? She's like, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing this? Or did you
not at all. I'm not surprised at that at all. She's always wanted to work in emergency medicine.
Oh.
She does her job. She's been finishing up her nursing degree, and she's been working at the ER at St. Vincent's for the last year and a half. And
God bless her.
They see it all there.
She sees it, and she loves, I mean, she runs toward trauma.
What a gift or what a talent.
I think it is, I don't know, a gift or a chromosome or a gene pool. Or
something's
wrong. You almost seem to have it or you don't have it.
John does not have it.
I don't have it.
I don't have it. I don't know where she got it. Her dad doesn't have it either. So this is an anomaly.
Great.
Yep.
And then Jim was talking too about what his daughters who went into medicine paid for college, the old paychecks that they had to write out, versus one thing with the military that Grant brought up too. The benefit aspect of being in the military is incredible, isn't it?
The benefits are amazing, really. Honestly, I mean, it's helped her tremendously to go to school. And that's honestly what she looked into it for. She wasn't necessarily looking to be in the Army. But once she realized what the benefits were, and being National Guard worked out perfectly because it was, commitment of one weekend a month, a couple of weeks in the summer, it was doable. But she lived in Nashville for about a year, but she would come home once a month because she wanted to stay with her unit. So we put her in when she was 17 years old, and she's now 23.
That's really important. Just from the guys I dealt with and the women that I dealt with, like when I embedded over there, and there would always be a couple of people that would be from like Pennsylvania or New Jersey, and they got transferred in. And it was hard for them versus, you know, being with these people all the time. So that's great that she did that.
It is. It's like a family, honestly. I mean, they're very, very close. It's a different kind of a relationship than you
they
and I.
They got each other's
ever.
Backs.
Exactly. For life.
Before we came on the air, you told a story. I should have asked if I can ask it again, but you sat with her through the recruitment.
I did.
And was it like, oh, honey, don't, or honey, do, or what? You're one of the few parents that I know that really sat through them. Sometimes the kids go and they come home and they say, look, I think this is what I want to do.
Right.
Tell me about that as a mom.
Well, when she'd kind of had been dabbling, coming up with ideas on how to pay for college, which is wonderful. But then we went down to Green Bay to meet with the recruiter. And honestly, I did not think that we were be signing this kid up. I mean, I rode along because we had to go to Costco. So I thought an hour.
An honest mom.
Give me an hour and, you know, we're out of here and I can hit the sales. But we sat and about two and a half hours into it, I was ready to sign and it all made sense. And they, you know, the one thing about the guy that recruited Lauren, and I can't remember what his name is, the one thing that he did was made me feel good about it and made me realize that she'd be safe and well taken care of. So that was that's the biggest thing. Sure. So really feeling proud is a much bigger emotion than the worry and the stress of her going. And I'm the biggest problem really right now for me is I just miss her a lot.
Sure. Yeah. I just think that's great that you sat through all that.
Yeah,
and then,
me too.
Then you got she got your blessing on top of it. So sometimes I think parents I know parents worry, right?
We do.
Do they really want to get in there? And you're saying this was great for her career, for financially,
absolutely.
It was a good move for her. And she really wanted.
And honestly, you and I talked earlier about the worries that we have for our young people here in the United States. You know, I work with the youth diversion program in Sturgeon Bay, and you know, just the ideas of drugs and sex trafficking and social media bullying, all of those kinds of things, just violence in the communities, it's more prevalent than it's ever been. So those are the things. When she was down in Milwaukee, honestly, when she was going to school, she went to Marquette for about a year, and I was much more worried about her in Marquette.
I would be too. Having embedded, and so did Jim, the way you're taken care of by so many people around you, nobody's going to mess with you. Versus, especially a daughter, when she went to one went to Madison. I didn't feel as bad. My other one went to UW-Milwaukee, which can be a little bit sketchy, some areas and everything. So I was a lot more nervous about that than if they had been deployed with a unit. I
absolutely
really mean that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, she was in a dorm where an officer was shot literally right outside her window with, you could see the police tape and, you know, and there were tons of stories, and she worked in the ER down in Milwaukee too. And I'm just a whole different, it was just a whole different ball game. So no, yeah. I don't worry about her safety.
Well, it doesn't sound like she has a lot of fear.
She does not. I wish she would have a little bit more fear once in a while, but yeah, she's great.
And how's the communication with her? Do you, with cell phones, with her, do you get to talk to her? I mean, she's gone for you. A while.
Yep, she's gone for 400 days. It's sketchy. Not as often as
you'd like, I'm
you know,
sure.
Usually, you know, we're talking six times a day, and so now I'm lucky if I get a text.
Okay.
But that, and again, that's going to be off and on depending on where she's at, what she's doing.
Who knows? Wow.
What are some of the things that you could, like, if somebody was listening right now and they've got a son or daughter, you know, and they're like on the fence, maybe I'm, what advice would you give them in regard, what would you say to them in the transition you've made from your daughter worrying about a prom dress and all those kinds of, you know, quote unquote girly things to now being a sergeant in the infantry and being deployed to a foreign country? What you've gone through, the transition, I guess, what would you say to those parents?
Well, the first thing I would say is I'm a firm believer that all kids should go into the military, honestly. That it's just, Lauren has always been a very mature girl. She's always known what she's wanted, but just that level of maturity, how much that has changed since she's deployed, and just she's happy. She's happy. She's proud of herself. We're really proud of her. And it's something she gets excited about. But
I detect that the night of Operation Song, I sat next to her. I sat between you and her. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed talking to her so much. She just had her head screwed on so well. And no disrespect, but for somebody that, I mean, she was just, yes, this is what I'm going to do. This is my goal. This is my whatever. And it was impressive.
It is. And that's always how she is about it. I mean, she hasn't had any times where she's regretted her decision. You know, I firmly believe that she's going to make this a lifelong career, whether she goes back into emergency medicine or if she just decides to stay with the Army. But she just kind of keeps moving up. She just got moved to a sergeant position over the last month or so. So we're proud of her.
As you should be. You know, you talked about everyone serving in the military for two years, or I don't know, maybe you didn't say the 2 years, but there's a lot of people who agree with that. Other countries do that, and they learn management skills. They obviously learn how to get along with other people because you're with people you didn't know and you're with them now, and you got to really respect the diversity of the world and life. But the other thing is that a little bit more country pride,
absolutely.
Especially you look at some of the countries that do that. And I was fortunate to meet some of the students or the kids that did that. And they were looking forward to it. It wasn't like, I got to do this for 2 years. They're like, because they learn so much. It's not, they don't punch in, punch out. They really, they're like, look, I learned so much about management. I learned about, which is just a skill you're going to use anywhere you go.
Right. You know? Well, and that's just it. The pride she has for the country and the flag it's unbelievable. And the other thing is when she was in eighth grade, she did a leadership conference down in Washington, D.C., and me being the helicopter mom, I wasn't sending my kid off by herself. So I, my family and I went down, and we stayed down in Washington, D.C., and we kind of mirrored what they did. You know, they went to, they would go to Lincoln Memorial. We'd do the same thing the next day.
That doesn't sound like a helicopter mom at all.
Yeah,
I was there.
Just for our listeners, though, helicopter moms, you hover over your kids.
That's right.
Some
people might say that about me. That might be why she went in the military.
I'm sensing that because I,
she's used to a drill sergeant. But when, after we did that trip to Washington, D.C., that was not anything I ever felt that was on my bucket list. But I feel every citizen should at least make one trip to Washington, D.C. because it does. The pride you feel about your country.
Yeah.
Another thing, though, Liz, in talking about your kids growing up, that what are some of the things you think that were instilled in her that has helped have her make this decision? I mean, were there things early on you saw, like a type of discipline in school or different things like that? Because, the Army doesn't really want knuckleheads anymore.
No.
And it used to be like our era, the judges would say, actually, I had a judge tell me this. Have you thought about joining the Army after high school? Because I got a couple of tickets and whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, that was the thing.
Oh, that's funny.
And talking with some of the people that were the drill instructors back in those days, they'd see these kids get off the bus and it's like, it made their job so hard. They don't want that anymore. They want these people with their heads.
These are quality individuals, and they work with you for a long time before they let you, they're not going
to push. It ain't the place to go to get straightened out. You better be straightened out before you raise your right hand.
It's hard to get in. I mean, I don't think people understand that. Like, you look across the street, Schreiber, it's like, oh, it's hard to get into Schreiber. It's hard to get into the military, too. I mean, that's because they're picking the best.
Plus, technically, we're talking with the guys the other day from the Einstein Project and everything like that. And what these young kids are doing can transform so much into the military. It's incredible. I mean, we got to send her a quick break, but that's a big part of our military these days. We get us on our quick break with Liz Hastings, her daughter, a sergeant in the United States Army, deployed with how many around? Was it 900 that day in
out of Green Bay, it was 650, I think. 600, yeah. Wow. Something like that.
A lot of people having their six, right? Back with more right after this. Drop another line like Dakota with the curse. Coming like a freak show, takes the stage. We give them the game.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, Welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on Trucker Thursday, 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 and 96.5 FM, WISS, and of course, the Civic Media app. We're with Liz Hastings from Sturgeon Bay talking about her daughter, a sergeant in the United States Army with the 32nd Division, being deployed with 600 of her closest friends. Liz, I got to ask you, though, on the send-off, any mama tears?
I didn't cry as hard as I thought I was going to because... Okay. I was warned to keep it together.
Okay. You know, one of the things in my last book that I wrote, one of the things I wrote was, it was dedicated to the wives and husbands of those who stay behind when their spouse or loved ones get deployed. That's an underrated story sometime of what you go through. And for yourself, I mean, you're pretty independent and I don't think you're going to have an issue along those lines. But it is, I mean, it's not, I mean, I remember when we dropped off Dominic for college, okay, and I was choked up,
yeah,
and it was so close to our house that I jogged past it. But there was still that feeling of, oh, that's my kids going off right to school, to big, you know, big person school.
We've had a long time to prepare for it, though, and I feel like the Army did a nice job. We've had some, you know, like parent you know, meetings and things like that.
Do they still have the FRG, Family Readiness Group?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
important.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we were well prepared for it. And again, this isn't a shock. This isn't, yeah, you know, and it's what she's been working for. And that's the one thing. All of these kids are excited about going. There hasn't been one. And, I know this whole big group of kids, and, you know, the kids that don't get chosen to go for whatever reason, they're disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
I was one of her friends was supposed to go and something came up and he wasn't able to deploy. And I'm telling you, that was more heartfelt for me than anything else, because just watching him struggle with wanting to go, wow, with this group.
Yeah. And I used to give you a lot of credit to mom, and that's much more difficult than sending your kid off to college, but that's not an easy thing for those, yeah, of us.
Right.
And,
nope.
But it really how you react is how they're going to react. So you got to really, like you said, hold it together. And that's
right.
And we're all going to go through that. And there's people listening who are going to go, it's going to be the first time going through it in fall when their kids leave, you know, to college. And that's just, but
right.
I mean, at least with college, we can go there anytime we want. Parents weekend is usually within 4 or 5 weeks, but you know, that's a long time that your daughter's
it
gone.
Is. It's a long time. And you know, the other part too is when you send them off to basic training. So
yeah.
Oh, where right.
She went during COVID. So that made it, as a mom, that was harder on me than sending her overseas at this point, because she had to leave early. She was gone longer than expected. We didn't get to see the graduation. There was very little communication. It was all letters. I wrote her a letter every day. Every day I wrote her a letter.
Every day.
That's still a big
that's pretty cool.
Get a letter.
That's pretty
yes.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Wow.
But so I think that part was much harder on me, because that fear of the unknown, where now she, you know, I'm not worried she's getting screamed at, yelled at,
yeah,
you know,
no.
that kind of.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I noticed when I was over there, you know, when they wear their camo and their body armor and everything like that, they all look like these indestructible G.I. Joes. And I always tell people the Brewers and the Packers had given me and UWGB had given me a bunch of T-shirts to bring over. And they were allowed to wear the T-shirts on within the wire, so to speak, for like mess hall type. You know what I mean? They're
right.
allowed to just kind of. Mm-hmm. And when you see them like that, you realize we send young people to war.
Yes.
Isn't that the truth, though? I mean, how young some of these people are.
And that's just it. And Lauren, she's 23. She was talking about one of the girls that's underneath her. And that girl, she's 19.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so it's a big deal. But boy, it's something to really be proud of. And
yep.
yeah.
It's such a great life experience. Even if you go in just for a few years and decide this isn't for you, just what you take from it. They'll never take it away.
Yeah.
Nope, exactly.
What you learn. You know, you talk about writing letters. We had joked about this, but I'm glad I wasn't in the military years ago, because you read those letters and they're my dearest, and they.
Yeah.
They're so hard.
Well, they're the writing.
Those Civil War letters were phenomenal.
They're unbelievable the way those guys
my
wrote.
My dearest Abigail, my heart is for you.
It's like I couldn't write that. Anyway, letters are cool. They're just so yeah. There's something that you can just save about them, but they were heartfelt. Boy, I tell you what, and their vocabulary is just.
It was amazing. Well, Liz, just a couple last quick points here. What, you know, as a mom, and it's really here, your daughter's a sergeant in the United States Army. Is it pride the number one thing that If you had to do one of those things, you know, where somebody says, say a word, you know, and then what's the first thing that pops into your mind? Your daughter, a sergeant in the United States Army, deployed.
Boom. Absolutely, pride. Absolutely. We are so proud of her. We just, you know, we think the world of her. And, you know, regardless of what she would have chosen in her life,
sure.
You know, I have a son who is 2 years younger than Lauren. I have just as much pride for him as I do right. for Lauren. He's in the workforce. He works with his dad in construction, learning the construction business. I'm just as prideful with that as well. So, you know, it's just something you just want your kids to be happy and healthy and safe, regardless of where you've sent them.
And another thing, though, too, as far as being a mom, I'm sure all the other moms out there, you guys have your own little link-up type thing, don't you?
We do. It's nice. You know, I'm, you know, in contact with a couple of the other moms. Yeah. But we all feel the same way. I mean, but at this point, when they go to deploy, you don't feel that feeling of doom and, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. You're excited for them, and you're happy because this is what...
It's what they signed up for.
Right.
Well, you're a good mom because kids, I don't think we give them enough credit at that age. They kind of know what they want to do.
Right.
And I think some parents are like, no, you really got to go here. I went there. Or you really should go here. And it's like, you know, you let your one son do what he wanted to do domestically and your daughter overseas. And I think we got to give our kids a little bit more credit because I think they're smarter than we were.
They figured out.
When
we were their
17.
Age, Johnny, we weren't that smart.
No.
So.
Yeah, she was 17 when we put her in, and she was, you know, some of the parents thought I was out of my mind.
Right.
But, you know, she got that good year, you know, before here, you know, just doing the weekend thing. And I would have never believed, you know, when she was young that I would be a military mom and this would be okay with me. And I'm very happy she
You
did
both
it.
Are, which is,
absolutely.
I think, awesome.
Yep.
Absolutely. Support is the most important thing for them deployed. And you've got it in spades. Liz Hastings, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming
so
in.
So proud of you. So proud of your daughter, the whole thing. And anything we can do for you or her or any of her mates, please let us know.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You
All
bet.
Right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We'll get us under a quick break. Mine and the Mayor back after this.
Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. Join the conversation now by calling 920-264-0606. 920-264-0606. Now, once again, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Had to go and get convert to show them what buttons to push and things like that.
She's
back there.
Kid.
I know, right?
The youth.
I know, the youth of America.
We gotta give him a chance, though.
I know. Lee Reed, Hide Music, Make Music Day. Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. It's always fun having you on. Hang on. I told him what button to push. Convoy, push the button. Take the mittens off. Lee, it's always
there you
fun
go.
Having
oh,
you here.
All right,
go.
Leah, now you're on.
I'm official now.
You are.
big things happening this time of the year in the world of music, isn't it? Go
yes.
ahead and talk about it, and then
always.
We'll introduce your very special guest that I'm really excited about talking to with the little background
the
you
jingle
gave me.
Man. Right.
Yeah.
The jingle man.
In the house.
So, Street Music Week, I want to give you guys a heads up on how that went. So, our goal was $5,000. We raised almost $7,000.
Phenomenal.
So, if you remember last week, I don't, but it was very cold and rainy, and we still did such a great job with Appleton Community Music and the musicians in the Appleton area. So, we're super proud about that. And then now we're talking about Make Music Day. We just keep going with these music programs, right?
I think that's fantastic.
So
I mean, you guys don't have a downtime a year, do you really?
No.
No.
I mean, you're always promoting it, if nothing else.
Right.
Yeah. So give this guy a very nice introduction.
So this is Jonathan Leahy. He is the person that creates all of our jingles at Hide Music, all the music that you hear during our stream, which is amazing. You guys have to watch our repair stream. It's awesome. It's on Thursday mornings from 8 to 9:30. Or 8:30 to 10. Sorry.
Okay.
And then he does our podcast, which is called Sound Underground. So he does all the interviews and all that. And then he is actually an e-commerce specialist as well. So very multi-talented. So that's why I brought him along today.
You know, that's one of those things where everybody probably thinks they can do because they hear a jingle and say, oh, well, that's simple. I could try to do it sometime.
Right.
I remember at one of the radio stations, I said, you know what? I'm going to help with that. I did not do a single one that was good. It takes a certain part of a brain. Jonathan, where does it come from?
Coffee. Coffee and relentless self-doubt.
Well, we've got those here.
I mean, I'm
why? How come we're not writing more jingles?
Exactly.
It's, you know, what's funny is that it's something that even by high school, it was already like a facet of music creation that I had started exploring a little bit. Oddly enough, because again, of like kind of the marriage of it and technology.
Yeah.
In the 80s, my dad was already kind of introducing me to the early concept of what was not yet dubbed the internet. And because he sold like phone systems, like VoIP systems that we call now.
Okay.
When I had already like kind of broken my parents' hearts and told them I wanted to be a music major, one of the things my dad was even telling me, he's like, but you know a lot about technology. There's a lot of crossover there. If you can build things that work on these systems. So
my first jingle,
paid job was in high school. Because I knew how to properly encode audio files that worked on these early VoIP systems.
Convoy, you know how to do any of that stuff?
Yeah. No.
All right. Need another gig?
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Bring it here. Boy, you got a great voice. I got to say that. You got a great voice.
Well, thank you. That's a funny bit in our e-commerce office with the rest of the marketing e-com team. And everybody, actually, I was recording some Spotify ads in there yesterday with the other five teammates in the room, which is really fun to do because I was in like full-blown like ad voice mode. And, yeah. And you know, our videographer, Maggie, kept chiming in and going, John, use your real voice. I'm like, no, I have to do the, you know, tune into Spotify and check out HideMusic.com. Like, no, I have to switch it on. Like,
these jingles can really just brand a company, you know? And when you think of the most popular jingles, I got to ask you, how do you come up with it? And then do you have like a side hustle where you'll do something for a McDonald's or a Menards or something? Or is you just all...
I do, actually.
I just think that would be so much fun.
So on my own, website and especially via like Fiverr and stuff like that, I do a lot of like freelance audio work and jingle music.
That's got to be fun.
I've been in the creative process of whatever in my career. I cannot sit down and say, write something creative or funny or whatever. It has to come to me while I'm driving along and I'm not thinking about it. And it almost subconsciously comes out. Is it that way? Because I had a friend that wanted to be a country music writer and went to the thing down in Nashville and sat in a room with 1,200 people and were told, okay, everybody write 3 songs today. And it was the hardest thing in the world to be creative when it's forced on you. How about yourself?
That's something I've had to work very hard on over the years. And it's and actually, if you know the artists here in Wisconsin, also, you know, kind of a bit of a Wisconsin Nashville back to Wisconsin transplant, Sly Joe, the Smooth Operators, he and I were both at UW Oshkosh together. And there's a lot of insights he and I have discussed over the years, and especially with all his songwriting work and his back, behind the scene credits that he's done and working with Taxi, he's given me a lot of great insight over the years on the idea of like, you have to treat it like work. You have to treat it like homework.
Got to have that discipline.
And, he and I have joked about like the idea that it's like, you have to do like what Stephen King talks about in his autobiography. You punch the clock.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning, you sit at Pro Tools and you just do something because that's your job. And for me particularly, I find if I put a more specific end result in front of me where it's like, okay, I need to make this, I'll crank it out.
Okay.
And different people, like you talked, different creative times, different days, but you're right. I think you got to dedicate a block, whether you're a writer or a jingle writer, your job is your job. It's not like when it comes to you.
I will say this, and Leah, you could back me up on this.
Yeah.
If you're a serious musician,
yes,
you have to have that. Because, I mean, music teaches you. I mean, that's a big part of that ball game too, right?
You have to have that discipline, but it's so worth it.
You talk about people, musicians, they're kind of out there. They're some of the more disciplined people. I mean, because we talk about these doctors in medicine, you know, doctors are very disciplined, right? Because I memorize and study. And then musician gives them, it's kind of that same, it's more creative, but I'm just saying it's the same discipline. That's a connector. Hey, I want to talk about this Make Music Day. You're both in that. That's why you're both here. But
yes.
Tell me what that is. And is that just an Appleton deal? Or are we doing that here too? Or Oshkosh?
It's everywhere. Okay. So it's across 1,000 cities in 120 countries. So on June 21st, yeah. Right?
Good I'm question. Is that just an Oscar or an Appleton thing?
Notice the research I did on this. So yes, I knew that. I just want to make sure you knew. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I did my research too. So I looked it up before, like 5 minutes ago. No.
Wow. that's a huge day.
Yeah, it is. And we've been working really closely with our downtown Appleton partners, like Lawrence University, Milo Music, ADI again, Appleton Area School District, and I'm Fox City's PAC. So we've been working really closely with them to create some amazing programming around Hyde Music and the Fox City's PAC. So if you look on our website, hydemusic.com, and go to events, you'll see everything that's going on, where our stores are located, as far as what we're doing for Make Music Day. Jonathan is leading a communal percussion group, which is our nifty way of saying drum circle. So
an elevated
drum circle. It's going to be like a drum experience.
Is that like a drum line?
No, okay. More think more hand percussion.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Like
djembes and congos and bongos.
What does Todd play?
The vibra slap.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be part of your Make Music Day. It's the Viber Slap. Okay.
I had never heard of those before. And last week we had a group in here for a music thing. He goes, well, it was Big Daddy D.
Yeah.
He said, we forgot our Viber Snap.
Slap.
And there it is right there. Con, give us a little something.
He doesn't know how to play it.
Give us a little.
I had to look it up because I saw this thing and I was like, what is this? I looked it up.
It's the beginning of Crazy Train.
Yes.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So Todd is not here this week, right?
No,
so we're going to go in there and steal his Viber Slap.
Yeah, absolutely. Do it.
So you're leading that. What are some of the things going on? And tell me about it. I want to hear
Leah Reed from High Music.
Leah Reed. That's me.
Yes.
So we're going to do a youth jam. There's children's programming. There are people at the PAC doing like a dance workshop. There is a drum dancing at the YMCA. There is a room full of pianos, which is amazing. A lot of piano teachers from the area will be playing a bunch of pianos in our piano gallery at one time. It's an incredible experience.
That's cool.
You guys bring people together in the field of music better than anybody I've ever seen.
You do.
We love music.
Yeah. It's
music
incredible.
Is fun, and it's so good for the soul. We love it.
And Hampton has developed such a reputation for the spot to go for music.
We're in Green Bay, too, though, you guys.
Yeah,
it's like with the Mile of Music,
but
that has brought your area musicians and everybody to the forefront, unlike any local thing I've seen in Wisconsin.
You have Lawrence.
We do have Lawrence, and they're amazing.
Kid went there. My daughter went, and everybody there is either music major or music minor, you know. And they really bring it to that, you know, 1,400 students, but boy, do they bring music to Appleton. And you know, we have some great universities, and St. Norbert's a great school, but the emphasis you have on music, I think, is just a little more elevated.
I would agree with that. And it's all kind of localized too.
Right.
If St. Norbert's was next to, you know, downtown next to you guys, I think it would be a different vibe.
Right.
But I think that's what
you guys are on the same block, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right down the road. So
it's incredible.
Jonathan, I have to ask you though, with a voice like that, were you a singer at one time?
I've never been able to pull it off as being like a lead singer in a band because I can't memorize.
I was even talking to a guy on the phone the other day. He goes, John, I just want to tell you, Derek, you got a great voice. He goes, I'll bet you were a good singer. And it's like, I think I am. Others don't.
Let's hear it.
Well, I
he's not, he's
from me or him?
John.
Yeah. John. No, he's
John and John.
This is good. Don't embarrass yourself.
I don't give it away for free.
Yeah, he's.
But my wife is a choir director, and you know, and has a master's in musicology and voice pedagogy and stuff like that. So I get vocal instruction very often.
Would be a great
from someone who is much better than me.
And
it's always valuable, and I always learn a lot from it.
You would be a great bass in a barbershop quartet.
Okay, and for him to say
six, seven, eight.
His dad was a national champion barbershop quartet. Ooh. Performed on the Ed Sullivan Show.
No kidding.
Performed on the Lawrence Welk Show.
Yeah,
in fact, one of his uncles like tried to hook up with the Lemon Sisters.
That's not true. John always adds that to the story. That's not true. They were good. They were good guys, but they traveled.
You can't resist the Lemon Sisters.
No,
you can't,
right?
But no,
or a sissy. Remember Bobby and a sissy.
No, they did millions of miles. They just and it was all barbershop.
How many albums?
I grew up in that. I think it's six.
Five albums.
Six
albums.
They were They were really, really good. They're international champions. And
that's
awesome. It was fun to see them and grow up with that. I didn't realize it till later in life how good they really were. And barbershop is tough. It's soccer ball, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's no music. There's no instruments to back you up. You're just there. But anyway, you just sounded like a bass to me, and I just think you... But
see, that's why I brought him. I just have this like northern accent. I'm like, oh, geez, there I brought that. He is so talented.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so lucky to have him on my team.
Bring some gravitas to it.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. This is fun.
Being colloquial.
Yeah.
Folks from High Music, Make Music Day. We're going to hit more on that exactly what all the things are.
That's going on in the world.
We're going to send it to a quick break. Right. Yep. We're going to send it to a quick break. But another one of the things I want to talk about is, did you ever want to go into radio and be like a DJ back in the day?
No, he wanted to make money.
There are some embarrassing childhood pictures of me like set up with like sunglasses and a pretend mic setup, like literally pretending to be a radio DJ.
Love it. We'll be back with more of the Hyde Music Make Music Day back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
He's trying. He's trying. He's playing the music. But he had the tour.
One day we asked for trucker music.
But he's trying.
I know.
Did you notice he put the horn in?
That's not trucker music?
Yeah. Okay.
If I was a trucker, that's what I would listen to.
I believe that.
Okay, so there you are.
Lee Reed, Hyde Music, Make Music Day. Go ahead and talk. Jim, go ahead, pick it up.
I'm curious, as this is Make Music Day, and Hyde really leans into this and does a great job. But it's bigger than Northeast Wisconsin. It's all over.
Yes.
What do people look for? What's the goal of that day, and who's kind of behind the impetus to get this thing national?
So it actually started
worldwide, actually, right?
Yeah, it started in France. So we just want people to make music. I think that's just the basic part of it, is anybody can make music at any time, and we're all coming together to appreciate what music is in our lives. And the creativity behind it, like we were talking about before. So in other communities, people will just be playing music on their porches or in parks or on street corners. And it's just a way to get the community together. We like to create events because I think sometimes people are a little overwhelmed by that and need a little bit of that structure to learn things and try things that are new. So again, trying a ukulele, it's a great instrument to start with, like we talked about before. Trying a drum circle and really... you know, leaning into that creative part of yourself, because everybody can be a musician. It doesn't mean you're good, but everybody can be a musician.
And I think everybody wants to be a musician. I mean, when you see somebody play the sax, it's like, God, that's awesome. That's a great instrument.
Question.
You know, and people, I think everybody wants to be. And like you said, try it. You can do it. You may not, you know.
But you don't have to. It doesn't
be great.
You don't have to be a gigging musician to play music. It's just a great way to relax and a great way to communicate and to express yourself.
And it can be very therapeutic. I worked with the Guitars for Heroes organization, where they're taking veterans, war veterans especially, and teach them how to play the guitar.
Yes.
And it brought in so many elements that are so therapeutic. One was discipline.
Yeah.
Another one was achievements. Doesn't matter if it's all of a sudden they're not Chet Atkins or something, but they learned a few, they achieved something, gave them a sense of, oh, I'm really looking forward to going back and doing it again. That sense of purpose is really important, and it comes from music.
We donate guitars to them, too.
Do you?
Right.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And we have that at the shelter where I work. But they have to, the discipline part, they have to play, what is it? Is it 15 minutes a day? I forgot what it was. But they got lessons, and they have to do that. And what I like about music, and we all, in our house, you just had to play an instrument. It wasn't like, well, I'm thinking about doing it. You didn't have a choice. I don't you know, sometimes you raise a family like that, and that's, you know what I mean? It just, that's what it was. So we had, think about that. 10 kids, 10 different instruments. It was a little crazy. But what I want to say about music is, if you try something, yeah, this isn't for me, you can try something else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the cool thing about music. And it's kind of not, nothing's easy. It's kind of easier to do than like sports. I mean, right. If you're in one and you can still try others, but it's like, oh, you got to start the whole thing over. That mm-hmm. you just put the instrument down, go see the teacher and pick up another one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's especially as primarily a percussionist, it's something I've, and teaching privately, it's something I've seen a lot, is that like the vast majority of students I've taught over my life have all been percussionists second or third or fourth, mm-hmm. where like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, like I started piano at four, actually so did I, and like, you know, and then played right. saxophone, wasn't really fit, played guitar, wasn't really fit, I really like drums, and you know, right. and like it's you can just keep right. hopping around and learning a new thing.
It's all foundationally pretty much the same thing, and if you learn the basics, you can really grow beyond that. Right.
Count to four.
I want to know about your podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool thing too.
Well, so that was something for clarity, I should explain. Leah is my boss, and is the best boss ever.
She feels like she's our boss. I feel like she's our boss too when right, she comes in here for a second.
Right? I'm a little on edge.
You better be.
But Leah has helped like. For as long as I've worked at Hyde, Leah has helped give me some like guts to kind of try and pursue expanding creative ideas that I want to explore for us as a brand and like things we can do, especially like we've been talking about today, endearing to the community and endearing ourselves to the actual musicians and performers right here mm-hmm. in our communities. Yeah. And that's something that especially just seeing so many other people do this and platforms explore it, because we all know like the most original thing anyone can do in the 21st century is have a podcast.
Right. Yeah.
There's a shortage. We need more of them, right? You know? The world needs more, you know, middle-aged white guys talking about things on microphones. Like
we almost called it that.
Yeah. And that might have gotten us more
that
listens.
Actually would be a good one.
But it's one of these things where I get to highlight my friends and meet new bands and meet new musicians and opportunities to meet like, you know, pillars of the music industry. We had the president of Buffet Clarinets from mm-hmm. France was visiting our shop. Oh. And our purchasing lead came, you know, it was like, hey, John, you should have him on the podcast and do an interview with him. I'm like, okay. Yeah, right. I guess I'm right. just going to interview the president of this company. Like, yeah.
Francois.
You know, yeah. Francois Koch. You know, shout out to Francois. He was yes. amazing interview. And I learned so much mm-hmm. About building clarinets and the history of French music craftsmanship.
Well, the key to podcasting, I've gotten from others who do a lot of it and whatever, mm-hmm. is find a niche. Don't try to be everything for everybody.
Right.
Yes.
And we really want to lean into music education and really supporting our music educators. So Sound Underground is what it's called, and that's kind of what the direction that we're going
and
in.
Just Spotify, type in Sound Underground, you're there?
And YouTube.
And YouTube.
And that's okay. part of the reason that we do it monthly is that we do a pretty high production video element with it. So,
oh, okay, so yeah. that's why.
That's cool.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been at Hyde for 19 years, you guys.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Hey, that's are you awesome. Gonna ever like? Is that like? Can this really happen? Like in 2.5 men, you write one jingle and you're set for life.
Can you write one for us?
We would. I mean,
we need some help.
We could. Should we write that today? We'll work on it.
Gonna have to find the right brand that needs a jingle.
You're looking at it. You're looking. We need something.
Leah Reid, Hyde Music, thank you for coming in. It's you always bet. Fun. And you're
Jonathan
always,
Leahy.
Jonathan Leah Leahy, you always bring in interesting guests. Yeah. This is really great. Thanks for what you do for
thank
us.
Thank you guys.
I really
appreciate it. For everything in music.
Right, thanks for what you're doing for the community. This is good stuff.
And if I had pipes like you, I'd be working with this guy. Just so you know. We're going to a break. Mud on the Mayor back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.